Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. You guys, I am so excited. Today I have my awesome, dear friend, sister in Christ. It feels like I've known her for a very long time, and guess what? I've only known her for about maybe 3 weeks, probably possibly going on 4 weeks, and maybe even 2 weeks, who knows, but the time is just really, really passing us. However, I would love to introduce to you my dear friend, my sister in Christ, Miss Sandy. Sandy, are you there with me?
I am. Yes, I am. How are you, Dr.
Awesome.
Chanel?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. Thank God.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with me on this afternoon. And I want to jump right in. Let's just begin and just tell the listening audience, who is Sandy?
Wow. Well, first, let me say thank you so very much for inviting me on here. I am
absolutely
very much thrilled to be here with you today. So who is Sandy? Sandy is a multifaceted, multi-talented woman of God who has been called to teach in the kingdom of God and to spread his word. And I do that through multiple avenues, predominantly a transformational life coach. I help women, especially those who have gone through a divorce or have ended a long-term relationship, to redefine their identity and their purpose. I'm also a mother of two, a recent author of a book that was published on July. Thank
Congratulations.
You, 27th, 2023. Thank you so much. It's called Gracefully Broken. And that's
Gracefully
just
Broken.
A bit... Yes, and that's just a bit of who I am. And yes, as the book states, gracefully broken, so was I. God has truly restored me, and I'm so happy to be here with you today just to share.
Amen, amen. Let's jump right into it. I know that the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It is also Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So happy October to all of the domestic violence survivors and overcomers. And, of course, we know that you are a survivor and overcomer of domestic violence. So myself as well, my mother is a survivor and overcomer of breast cancer. So we're very grateful for life. We are grateful for health. We're grateful for strength and just being here still on this earth that, you know, our family members did not have to have a memorial service or anything of that nature in regards to us, that we're still here to share the story, to share the testimony, to help with the healing, to help with the deliverance of other people. So, so grateful. Just tell us a little bit about your book. And, you know, how was your book birthed? Tell us a little bit about that. Gracefully Broken. I love the title and the name of it.
Yes. So the book in itself is, even the writing journey of the book in itself is truly a testimony, Dr. Chanel. But mm-hmm. the book was birthed, I would say, or the conception of the book, the seed mm-hmm. form of the book, came about 4 or 5 years ago after the Lord delivered me, as he did the children mm-hmm. of Egypt, out of a marriage after 16 mm-hmm. years. And he brought me to a place, 16 mm-hmm. years, and he brought me to a place where I would consider it was like a wilderness experience. I mm-hmm. truly had to lean and trust only on him to take me through that journey. And during mm-hmm. that period of time, I got the name of the book. Fast forward, I knew it wasn't for that time. Fast forward to 2021, he kind of led me to the idea of kind of, you know, sitting with this book idea. And he provided, mm-hmm. you know, he gave me the outline. So the outline of my book takes on the form of the life cycle of a butterfly. And of course, as a transformational coach, you know, I became drawn to the butterfly because it's one of the greatest transformation we could ever truly experience if we should, you know, experience that or to even study the life cycle of a butterfly, mm-hmm. right? You leave from a crawling, ugly-looking insect to a beautiful, flying insect, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
and so, you know, as he gave me the outline, I, you know, prayerfully, I knew it was still not the time. Then eventually I got the theme of the book, which initially I thought was the subtitle. But that wasn't, you know, and so he gently led me into what I call timing, where Chronos and Kairos met. So this year, he allowed me to meet a book writing coach, and I believe God perfectly positioned her in my life, right? And she was not just a book writing coach. She was one spiritual lady where when grief set in, when my spiritual mom passed away in April, she was there to pray with me and to pray for me when I felt like I couldn't find the words, but I knew this was something God wanted me to birth. And so she became like that midwife or that OB, you know, that kept saying, just think about what this will do for the world. And so I kept pushing and God allowed me, you know, I spoke about my book cover. So we spoke about my book cover and I said, you know, I want to do something like a stained glass face woman, you know, like a mosaic or, you know, like a butterfly. And I gave her all these images. And the very next day, a ring that I was wearing, which had the shape of a butterfly, you know, like the two wings, the very next day, one of the stones for one of the wing of the butterfly came out. I finished my chores, and I had a half of a ring, right? And I'm looking at this, and I said, God, you could only be the genius in this idea because I would have never thought to do something like that. But just to see that God allowed a ring that I own to become gracefully broken. And it was the representation of the outline of my book. Yeah. So to top that off, you know, he allowed me to get the final copy of my book on the 19th of July. I was able to order my author's proof copies, right? And that 19th of the July was a very significant date for me. That was 7 years to the date when he allowed me to close on my home that we now live in that became our place of refuge. And then on the 27th of July, where he allowed me to release the book to the world, was 7 years to the date that we moved. And so I believe Chronos and Kairos met in that moment as he was completing chapters of my life. My book, the subtitle is The Transformative Journey of Through Separation and Divorce. And so I give God all the glory and all the praise because I believe every chapter, 12 chapters total, were totally inspired by him to bless others, even in their own journey as they go through, you know, what a lot of people have experienced because we know divorce has been so prominent now, you know, even these days. And so many people,
unbelievable.
you know, don't necessarily feel like they could share their story, but I pray that in reading my story, someone can say, at least I'm not alone, because someone else gets me.
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. And thank you so much for sharing and being so open and honest in regards to your story and your testimony. And I know that, again, you are a domestic violence survivor. I do want to ask a little bit, if we can, about that particular subject. You know, tell us, tell the listening audience, you know, what did you overcome with that domestic violence situation? What did that look like for you? Because everybody's story is a little bit different, of course.
Absolutely different. So let me see if I can go back a little bit, but bring it forward real quickly. So my ex-husband and I, we met maybe 2 years or so prior to him migrating to the United States. So we dated in Jamaica. He migrated.
Okay.
2 weeks prior to him migrating, I had a family situation that caused me to move there, knowing that he was leaving. So it wasn't like I was going to be living with this man, you know, because I had this thing in my mind. I'd never wanted to go living with a man if we're not married. So 2 weeks he migrated. He came back for 1 week in between that time for a family funeral. And between the time of him leaving and coming back, I had rededicated my life to the Lord, started going back to church, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we started kind of talking marriage. So we got married technically a year later, but I never really lived with this person, right? So we got married. He would spend some time. He would come back and forth and all of that. But 6 months after getting married, was when the verbal abuse started, the name calling, the yelling, the bad word cursing, which, to be honest, was a shocker for me because I've never heard him cursed before. And so I see that I was now dealing with someone that I thought I knew but never knew. And about 2 or 3 years in, the first physical abuse happened. And, of course, you know, that was a shocker. And you're thinking, okay, this is just a one-off situation. He gravely apologized. Wasn't our pastor at the time, but he was the MC at our wedding. He was our neighbor. He kind of heard the upstir that night. And it was a Sunday night, so the Monday he came, he met with us, kind of tried to really talk with us through some of the issues we were having, just hoping that things would get better. Well, it seemed to have gotten better for a little bit, but a few years later, the physical abuse was back again. And so every time, you know, you're thinking, well, this is going to be the final one and this person is apologizing, but definitely that wasn't the case. We moved here eventually, and, you know, by that time I said we, because we had Noah daughter. And also when I moved here, I was 4 months pregnant. So now we had 2 children. Being married, being a Christian, you know, you're trying everything to stick to this vow till death do us part.
To make it work.
And, of course, to make it work, because, you know, you said till death do us part. You don't want to get divorced. And for me, I was hell-bent on breaking some generational curses because no one in my family was married. The one aunt that was ever married, it didn't work, you know. And so I felt like this was my opportunity to stick this out and break this curse. But in doing that, we could become so blinded that the effect it's having on our children is so bad that you don't want to do that, right? But I was so tunnel visioned and so focused on I'm going to break this, and I'm praying, Lord, change this person, you know? And you're leaning on the Lord, and you're doing everything, and you're waiting, and every time it looks like this is the moment where you think this is going to be the last straw and change is going to happen, there comes another upstart. And so became a point where you just feel like you're walking on eggshells. You don't know the least little conversation that will start a big blow up of an argument. I'll tell you this, now that I am outside of that situation and God has truly allowed me to heal, I will say to someone, your peace cannot, you can't pay for your peace with nothing.
That's it. That's it.
Nothing. Like I walked away from it. Basically everything in this marriage that we had built, right?
Mm-hmm.
And started afresh. Like I literally started afresh, meaning buying new furniture, everything practically.
Everything.
I started over from scratch. And I've watched God continuously provide and build me up. Initially, when I left, I didn't know what it would cost to actually run a home by myself. I didn't pencil that
mm-hmm.
out because I knew, like, God was doing a thing and I was just doing it with him. But when I got into this home, I realized I had to start rotating credit cards to pay some bills in order to keep my children comfortable as best as possible. But to God be the glory.
Yeah.
He provided, he kept opening doors, he kept showing me different strategies, and I'm not where I used to be. And so when I look at that, my peace was worth it all, walking away from everything. And that part of that was, even though he said, oh, you could take whatever you want, I knew that was not the truth. I knew that was not the truth. I knew that was only to have something else to say. You know, I knew also that in the last 2 weeks of being there, I feared most for my life than any other time. I literally had a safety plan in place because I didn't know what night he would probably strike. And I couldn't tell my children that. But that fear, oh, my God, no one should ever have to experience that. But I know there are still people who are experiencing that today. And so my heart goes out for every person who is still dealing with that. And I salute every woman or every man that has overcome domestic violence.
Absolutely. And thanks again for sharing. Now, let me just ask in regards to your children. I know your children was there. You know, you probably kept certain things away from them, you know, for their protection. But my question would be, you know, did the children experience any of that? Did they hear any of those arguments or any of those fights and things of that nature?
Oh, yes. They did. And to be honest, my daughter was a lot more cognizant of what was going on because she was older. When we moved, my son was just 8 years old. So for him, a lot of things kind of went over his head a little bit. But I remember days when he would come and he would be like, stop arguing, you know, and that would make me feel bad.
Wow.
So what I started to do, whenever there was a situation I needed to address, and I figured it was going to become a blow up, right? I would wait till they were gone to school and I would address it.
Okay.
So at least it's just the two of us in that verbal fight because the physical fights stopped when one, you know, the last straw was he put his hand on me one night and, you know, confiscated the phones, even kind of slapped up my daughter because when she heard the rustling and I say, hey, call 911, he kind of was trying to fight the phone from her. She wasn't going to let it go. And, you know, he kind of slapped her up a little bit to get the phone. So the next morning I was hell-bent on reporting him to the police. And, you know.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I will take your two children to visit you in jail because your daughter needs to learn that if a man does this, that's where they belong. And if your son needs to learn that if he does that to someone's daughter, that's where he's going to end up, right? And so when we had that conversation, he was so apologetic, and that was the last time that he ever put his hand on me. But what I will say is the verbal abuse intensified.
Still there.
The emotional abuse
intensified.
Because now you realize you really can't put your hand on me again. So now those verbal, the name calling got really bad. But for God.
Wow.
But for God. I think
days
still, even after 7 years, I have to remind myself, you're not what he said you are. You're not who you said he said you were, you know? And
so even though
I have so many things written in my mirror because I have to make it a constant daily reminder. To remind myself who God says that I am.
Yep, that's it. That's it. And I can totally relate in regards to that, right? Because same for me, you know, I put little sticky notes on my mirror, on my refrigerator. You know, I may even put a sticky note in my car. you know, whatever whatever works, you know. So that's a good thing to hear that I'm not alone. She's got sticky notes all around the house, you know. So let me ask you this. In regards to, you said the physical abuse stopped, right? But at what point were you in your marriage? Like, you've been with him for 16 years. So did it stop at the six-year mark, or did it stop at the 10th-year mark? Just curious on that.
So the physical abuse were very sporadic. They weren't frequent. Mm-hmm. It would be like some weird thing. And, you know, out of the blue. So if I was to be honest, it was like maybe every three, four years. We were married for 16 years.
Okay.
And I'd probably say maybe every 3-4 years, there would be like an incident that became physical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can remember maybe 5 times there was a physical altercation, but the verbal, the emotional, the financial abuse was always there. And, you know, like experiencing both, I don't remember the physical as much, but I have to fight daily with this mindset. You know, I remember when I just moved, I had to remind myself, you could pray aloud. This is, you're by yourself, you know, because everything became an issue. I would even want to add spiritual abuse, you know, like I would have devotion with the kids and it was an issue. I would get up and have devotion in the bathroom at 5 in the morning. That became an issue. Oh, you get up and you don't even know if I'm okay in this bed before you gone to talk to God, right? Because he wanted to be my God. And the truth is I didn't make him. You know, so it was everything. Like you never knew what you would say something today and it was fine. And the very another time you said the same thing and the roof is about to come off. So there was nothing you could truly study to say, okay, I know how to keep the peace. You know, so it was hard. And, you know, even after those 16 years and leaving, you know, I still didn't know if, okay, maybe God is just separating us for a moment, you know, so everybody could see themselves. But that wasn't the case. So, you know, I kept praying. I kept asking the Lord and waiting for him to show me that this is final. This is not a temporary move. This is final. And when he did, that's when I found the peace, like, okay, I can truly let this marriage go and know that I gave it my all. And I was able to. So 2022, you know, we filed the divorce and we're just like that, you know. All in all, I believe what God has called me to do in this moment as a coach, helping women, I wouldn't have been able to truly do that had he not taken me
on that journey.
If I didn't go through it where I can truly relate on so many levels, it would be hard for me to minister to the woman he's calling me to. And so, you know, in all fairness, it was not easy going through, but to him be all the glory because he's taking all of that negative experience and now he's propelling me to ministry, to minister to women that have gone through these things, that are struggling with their identity, with rejection, with abandonment, with betrayal, because I've been there. I've done it all, and he has truly restored and healed. And so now I'm just ready and willing to help another sister along so she can also be healed and be made whole.
Amen, amen. My God, today, let me ask you in regards to the your current situation. Now, is he active in the children's lives today, or what does that look like?
He is. I never removed him. You know, for me, one of the things that I know is we all have our own journey, and I believe God knows who he put to be our children's, you know, to be a mother and a father to children.
So for me,
I never set him a schedule. He was free to see his children whenever he needed to. I never gave him a figure for child support. I just knew God took me out. I said, whatever you can afford to give them or give me for them, is fine by me. I know it sounds strange, and I'm probably one in a gazillion women, but that's how I saw it, because, you know, one of the things that I knew, exactly, because one of the things that I knew was, the first thing that God helped me to see was that I was no longer a victim. I was out of the situation that made me a victim, right? And so I was on a journey to being victorious. And so I wasn't fighting for anything. I didn't fight for no stuff, not even in the divorce. I said, listen, whatever you think you want to give me after 5 years, and that would have been like 21 years of marriage, you're free. Because guess what? Anything you do know is bonus, because God has been sustaining me for these last 5 years. You know, and that was like my fortified mindset, where I wasn't going to fight over nothing. I'm like, I'm not dragging this thing out. We're doing a non-contested divorce, you know, because for me, what good would it be for you, for me to have given you 21 years of my life and then give you another 3-4 fighting over these stuff that I may not live to even get?
Because of the stress.
You know, God had already started redeeming the time. And so I'm like, no. I know God got me, you know,
yes,
and it may sound
frightful,
and it may sound like it was, you know, maybe naive. No, it was a conscious decision I made. I'm not giving you one more moment, one more day, one more hour of my mental space.
My Lord. And that's a good way to look at it. That's a very, very good way to look at it. So I'm grateful that you even shared it and broke it down that way for us, so that the listening audience can hear it from your point of view. I tell you what, Sandy, the time has come, and it is literally almost time to go. Oh, my goodness, and we're just getting started. Oh, my goodness, but it's okay. What I'm going to do, look forward, you guys, to having Sandy back on. Let me reframe. Coach Sandy back on with us. You guys, if you are interested in having someone to guide you through this thing called life, you know, please feel free to reach out to Sandy. Sandy, please share with the listening audience your contact information. If they wanted to reach out to you, how can they contact you?
So my first point of contact is my phone number. It is 770-875-2269. Again, that is 770-875-3269. You can also find me on Facebook. I have my business Facebook page. It's Mind Glowing Transformational Coaching. You could also follow me, or, you know, friend, send me a friend request. It's Sandy Huggins, H-U-G-G-I-N-S. I'm also on Instagram, and that is under Sandy Huggins Smith. Or you could also reach me on my Instagram business page, which is mind_glowing, T as in Tom, C as in Charlie. I also have a Facebook group. It's called Mind Glowing Conversations Divorce Plus. So you could reach out to me on any of those medium, and I would be happy to help you. And even with that phone number, I can also be reached through WhatsApp. So whatever medium works best for you, I'm here for you.
Awesome, awesome. You guys, thank you so much again for tuning in to the Crystal Chanel Show. Miss Sandy, thank you so much again for sharing your contact information. You guys, don't forget, reach out to Coach Sandy. If you're in need of anything, please feel free to reach out to her, and she'll be more than happy to assist. You guys, we're going to close out the show with Fill Me Up by Casey J. God bless you guys, and happy October, you know, to all the domestic violence survivors and breast cancer survivors. God bless you all, and continue to fight. Peace and blessings until next time.
If you provide the fire, sacrifice.